We've been talking about the family, the roles of men and women. We've started out in the book of Genesis, and then we've tried to go back and forth, talk some about what the Bible says about men and their responsibilities, then about what the Bible says about women and their responsibilities, then we go back to men so that we sort of keep it balanced that way. Foundational to everything are the opening chapters of Genesis. If you don't have those correct, everything else is just pieces. I'll encourage you to be clear on Genesis. Maybe go back and reread those chapters regularly. That's true for the rest of the Bible. The first three chapters of Genesis are foundational to everything else that goes on in Scripture. And a clarity on the opening chapters of Genesis puts everything else in place. God is the creator. He created man as male and female. That's the foundational issue. He's the creator. He created man as male and female. Genesis 1. They were created in his image. Genesis 1. To rule over the rest of creation, both male and female. Genesis 2 clarified some of the distinctions between male and female. The roles they would have. The responsibility of the man as created first, placed at the center of his home, given the leadership responsibility, which involves accountability for his wife and children and this condition of his home. The wife created for the man to be a complement to him and a support and to join with him in overseeing the family. We've talked about the man's role. We've been talking about the woman's role. The man created by God to be at the center of his home. The leader in the sense of he is accountable for the condition of his home. He is to be acting for the good of his wife and children. The Bible's approaching it from the standpoint of marriage. We'll talk further down about man as male and female and some of the broader distinctions there. But for example, the Old Testament, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs, assumes marriage because that's the general pattern and plan. In fact, it's not until later into the New Testament that we get further clarification on God's plan for a single life and his provision of grace for some, both male and female, for a single life. We'll talk about that at the future. But you ought to understand the assumption moving through like the book of Proverbs is that we're talking about people who are married or will be married. Even though what is being said, much of it will be applicable to those who do not marry. And particularly what we're saying in the book of Proverbs. We talked about the role of the woman. She's the spiritual equal of the man, but she is different than the man. She was created as female. She was created differently than the man. The man was created out of the dirt. The woman was created out of the side part of the man as a complement to the man. They belong together in the normal pattern and plan of God. It's not good for man to be alone. I will create a helper for him. So in God's plan, the man needs the woman, and the woman is created for the man, and so also needs the man. Her role is one of submissiveness to the man, to her husband. We looked at the verses dealing with that in the scripture. I want to follow through on that as we did with the man. We looked into the book of Proverbs and come to the book of Proverbs. We'll start in chapter 1. And you remember the book of Proverbs is written from the man's perspective because it's written from a father to his son. So everything in the book of Proverbs is written from that perspective. The father's instruction to his son. What he says about women are from the eyes of the man and what the man ought to be looking for and warnings and so on. But much of what is said, of course, is applicable to the woman in Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So you can see there, he's addressing the father to the son. But the son is reminded, you should be listening to the instruction of your father and your mother. Though the mother is brought together here as the one who will also join with the father in passing on the wisdom of God to the son and to the children. So important we see this, because so much of what is said here regarding wisdom will be applicable for the woman and the wife, even though it's addressed to the son. And the book of Proverbs starts earlier, and we'll mention also, as we'll see as we move along, that it's assumed the mother, as a wise woman, will be passing on the truth of God. The beginning point is the fear of the Lord. Coming to recognize who he is, bowing myself before him, placing my trust in him, experiencing his salvation, if you will, and now living for him. The book of Proverbs only has two kinds of people, the fool and the wise. There are no in between. The naive, the gullible, are still in the category of the fool, because they don't know the Lord. They don't live in submission and obedience to his wisdom. The book of Proverbs knows no inconsistency in this sense. The fool lives a life that ends in death. The fool is a person separated from God who does not know God. The wise is the one who has submitted to God, experienced his salvation, and the life of the wise ends in life, eternal life. So the idea, well, I am a wise person, but I'm living like a fool, is not considered in the book of Proverbs. Your lifestyle reflects whether you are wise or fool. It reveals the condition of the heart. Now, that's true as we go through, so important to keep these factors in mind. When you come over to chapter 2 of Proverbs, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So when we talk about the wise person, it's the person who knows the Lord and has the Lord as his instructor. This wisdom is being passed on here from the Father to the Son. But its source is God. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So this is God's truth. The book started out the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. But the ultimate source of this wisdom is God. And this is God's truth passed on through Solomon, passed on through father to son, parent to child, and so on. What we're going to do is look what the Bible says about women. We've looked through Proverbs, a number of the Proverbs, and what it says about men and a wise man. And we've noted God has placed the man at the center of his home, giving him the responsibility for the condition of his home. There is nothing more tragic than the center of the home and the man responsible for the home is a fool, as Proverbs sets him forth. Likewise, it is a great tragedy when a home has a wife and mother who is a fool. These are rather blunt and strong terms. Some of the commentators translate it stupid, but not intellectually. We're talking about a person who might have great intellect. We're talking about a person, though, who has not submitted himself to God and manifesting that by living a life pleasing to him. Never experienced that transformation of heart. All right, we're in chapter 2. What we're going to do first is look at what the Bible says about women in relation to men as regards moral faithfulness. We noted with the men. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs denote the largest portion and emphasis that will be given in the whole book to the importance of faithfulness to your spouse. It's written to a young man, warning him about the tragedy of becoming involved with a woman who is not his wife. So it addresses the woman as the immoral woman. And we noted that it is crucial, and God spends so much time talking about this because of the devastating impact unfaithfulness will have. It is unfaithfulness to God, as we'll see as we review these sections again. But when he addresses the man and talks about the woman that he does not want to become involved with, that tells you what a woman who is a fool is like, which means what? A woman who is wise, who has the wisdom of God, will not want to be this kind of woman. So we're going to be relooking at some of these passages from the standpoint this is telling us what a wise woman will not be like. So in Proverbs chapter 2, look down in verse 12, and you'll see it'll help you appreciate the contrast in a moment. This wisdom from God, as the Lord gives wisdom, we read in verse 6, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding, that will guard you in the paths. Verse 8, the paths of justice preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness, justice, equity, good cause. Wisdom will enter your heart. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. We're going to talk about the woman who does not have discretion later in Proverbs. Note verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil. So the wisdom of God will keep the man on the paths of righteousness, will enable him to avoid wicked and evil men who would want him to walk the path of wickedness. Then when you come to verse 16, this wisdom from God not only will deliver you from the evil man, it will deliver you from the evil woman, to deliver you from the strange woman. So the wisdom of God will keep us from becoming entangled with the wicked, a man or a woman. He mentioned the man, now here he talks about the woman. To deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. So here you have, we're talking here now about a married woman. She's made a commitment to a man in marriage, been joined to him by covenant relationship of God. Remember Genesis 1? God brought the man to the woman. And the man said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Jesus said in the New Testament that what God has established in that relationship in Genesis 2, no man should asunder. We'll talk about divorce at a future time. But you see here, it's a covenant of God. She not only is unfaithful to her husband, she's unfaithful to God and breaks the covenant of faithfulness that was established in marriage by God. So she is a fool. She's not a wise woman. She's not a godly woman. And now she would draw the man, just like earlier, the evil man would try to draw the man into evil ways. Here the evil woman tries to draw the man into evil ways. For her house sinks down to death. Her tracks lead to the dead. None to go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. If you take the wisdom of God, we went back, and that will keep you from the influence of evil men and their ways. It will keep you from the ways of evil women, their influence. Then you'll keep walking the paths of righteousness. Even though these passages fit together as blocks, you ought to read them in the context, especially through the first 9 chapters, where much of the burden is to talk about the seriousness and the tragedy and the ruin of unfaithfulness in marriage. You'll note where the path of this immoral woman leads. It's a path that leads to death. Verse 18, for her house sinks down to death. In other words, when you go to her house and become involved with her, you know, that's the path that goes where? To death. The contrast there'll be through Proverbs is between death and life. The eternal life that God brings and the death that sin brings. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. So naturally, those who are practicing sin are on the road that's going to culminate in death, destruction. So a woman, a wise woman, does not want to be this kind of woman. She does not want to leave the companion of her youth. She does not want to violate the covenant that God has established in her marriage relationship. She will be a woman that is careful to be faithful to her husband and avoids any path or road that would draw her into this kind of serious relationship. So much here, because nothing so devastating as the breaking of the marriage covenant. Come over to chapter 5. Verse 18. Verse 15 starts it. Chapter 5, the whole son, it starts out addressing the son. My son, give attention to wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding that you may observe discretion. Those on the path of evil, the fools, do not have discretion, discernment. Verse 11, the lips of an adulteress drip honey, smoother than oil is her speech. In the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of shield. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. The tragedy of sin, it blinds you. That's why we talk about people living in darkness or being blinded. We sometimes say sin makes you stupid. Some translators translate the fool here as stupid. Again, not intellectually, not capable. They may be brilliant intellectually, but they have no understanding of true reality from God's perspective, of spiritual reality. So where does her life lead? Don't want to be a fool. A woman wants to evaluate carefully. Verse 8, keep your way far from her. Do not enter her door. You'll give your vigor to others. And so on. Come down to verse 18. Let your fountain, he's addressing the man, but here's it tells you something about the role of a godly wife. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated, intoxicated, literally, with her love. Why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress? Embrace the bosom of a stranger, because the maids of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. What's this say about a woman? She wants to be totally devoted to her husband, totally desirous of meeting his needs sexually. Talk about in a future study. That's what God has planned in marriage. That's satisfying there. So a woman ought to see this as part of her role as a wise woman, giving herself without reservation to her husband, desirous of being the one who's meeting his needs in the sexual area, fulfilling his desires as he will hers, as we'll see when we study this more in detail. But it tells you what a wise woman will be. You know, sex is not wrong. Sex is not dirty. Sex is part of the Creator when He created us. Remember, He told Adam and Eve before the fall, be fruitful and multiply. You know what they had to do to be fruitful and multiply? Most of you here are old enough to know that. Yes, they had to have sex. Express the love relationship that God would bring them into. A relationship of oneness expressed physically in the sexual relationship. And so the woman here has to have a proper attitude towards sex and sexual activity with her husband. It's without limitation and restraint. The two of them can be involved in fulfilling each other completely. Talk about it later, but that's a good way to maintain purity. Paul will talk about this. You ought to have a husband or a wife if this is your desire, because that's where it ought to be fulfilled. Some reason we get an idea that, you know, we have distance grow here in men and women. Lose perspective on this here, addressing the woman as well as the man. But the wise woman will see what her responsibility is and what she should be, as well as the wise man. Where should he be looking? They should be looking to each other, not out here someplace. But the wise woman will be involved in fulfilling her husband and fully engaged with him sexually. Come over to chapter 6. Verse 20 says, my son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. So you see here, the mother too is wise. She's taken in the wisdom of God. So we're talking about a wise father and a wise mother imparting the wisdom of God now to the children, God has given to them. You know, they say, bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. When you awake, they'll talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and teaching is light. The reproofs for discipline are the way of life. God's word ought to be taken in, the wisdom of God. It ought to saturate us. So no matter where we are or what we're doing, we're guided by God's word. You have them on your heart, you have them around your neck, and when you walk, when you sleep, when you're awake, you know, the word of God directs my life in everything. And the truth here, even in areas it does not specifically address, it forms the environment and the foundation for all my decisions of life. But we ought to be filled with the word of God. That's why one of the deceptions of sin and the activities of the devil is to draw people away from the word of God. So their life is not filled with the word, so they are not ready to make wise decisions. Greg joked about the building project over here. I too wondered about the deep ditch. It didn't solve anything when they kept putting conduit in it. Because who in the world is going to sort out 35 conduits running or 50 or 60, whatever there? And then I don't even know how they get the wires through those things. And who knows where it goes? You know what? I don't have any knowledge there. So I couldn't make right decisions to save myself. You know what happens when people are ignorant of God and His truth? They're in a world of lostness. How are they going to make a right decision? How are they going to know what to do? That's why we want to build the Word of God into our lives and build it into the lives of our children. Parents to take every opportunity to have their children involved, that doesn't guarantee the outcome, but without it, there can be no good outcome. The Word of God permeating our lives. So here, come down to pick up with verse, where do I want to pick up? Verse 24, addressing the man. This is the truths of God, His commandments, His wisdom will keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture you with her eyelids. For on the account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread. An adulteress hunts for precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a man walk on hot clothes and his feet not be scorched? So the one who goes into his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her, will not go unpunished. The other side of that is, this is what a wise woman, of course, would not be this kind of woman. She cannot escape responsibility and accountability and the discipline of God in her life. So while he's instructing the man, warning her about the kind of woman you don't want to become involved with, that tells you which kind of woman a woman does not want to be. That's not a wise woman here. This is a fool. The man may manifest he's a fool, and he becomes involved with a woman who is a fool. Verse 32, the one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. Lacking heart. And the heart, the Old Testament, there is the center of everything. He knows nothing. He who would destroy himself does it. What do you think is true of the woman who commits adultery with the man? Is she any wiser? No, she's a fool. She destroys herself. We'll see. She tears her house apart, tears it down. The basic truths that we need to keep in mind. Here's how a wise woman will function. Here is a picture of an unwise woman, a fool, an unregenerate person who does not function in light of the wisdom of God. Over to chapter 7. And you note the constant emphasis. God speaks, He knows. How quickly we forget. So here you start at chapter 7 again. You go through Proverbs sometime and just understand how many times it tells him to keep these words, to remember them, to put them into practice. My son, keep my words, treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live. My teaching is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. Call understanding your intimate friend. You see, these things, they're the closest things to me. They're like a family member. That's why he says to the son, it's like your sister. Because a close family member. You have them on your heart. They're the pupil of your eye. I mean, the wisdom of God, this is serious business. I mean, God is not talking here, well, this doesn't apply to me. It applies to all of us. The seriousness of these issues. What will these things do? The wisdom of God. That they may keep you from an adulteress, verse 5. From the foreigner who flatters with her words. Then he goes on to throw out the picture here of a young man being enticed into a relationship with a married woman. The woman comes out to meet him. Verse 11, she's boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. Tells you what kind of woman don't want to be. The woman of the quiet and gentle spirit that Peter says is precious in the sight of God. That's not this woman. She's boisterous and rebellion. Her home being a place she is concerned and building. No, she's out and about and involved in what she should not be. She's religious. She's making offerings. She's fulfilling vows with the right offering. I mean, you might meet her at church today. Here you could meet her in Israel. That's what he's talking about. What'd she say? She's brazen. Aggressive. That the world tries to promote the women today. She has a brazen face, the end of verse 13. What's he saying? Verse 14, I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I have paid my vows. Therefore, I have come out to meet you. Isn't it amazing? The Lord has just worked this all out for us to be together. I mean, I've fulfilled. What kind of foolishness is this? You talk about as though making offerings and fulfilling vows to the Lord are important when you're out to indulge in immorality? As though this offsets the one? I mean, this lady is a fool. I've come out to meet you, to seek your presence. You know how men are gullible to this. Oh, you're just the man. You're the man I've always wanted. You're just so desirable, I can hardly resist you. You're probably right. that appeals to the man. All of a sudden, she's probably what I've been looking for. My wife hasn't appreciated what she had after all. And on it goes. She's got everything ready. And doesn't this sound good? Verse 18, come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. Wait a minute. What did we read earlier? Your wife, be intoxicated with her love at all times. Let her breast satisfy you. This is where this woman ought to be, devoted to her husband. No, she's got a husband. Verse 19, my husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. Nobody will know. Don't have to worry about him coming in on us. He's out of town. Can't you just see how everything's worked together? And so on it goes. Verse 22, he follows her, goes as an ox to the slaughter. One in fetters to the discipline of a fool. It'll cost him his life. You see here, you have the woman who's acting as a fool, and now the man who's acting as a fool. We talked about this with the man. He ought to be devoted to his wife. He must be, unless he's a fool. So also the woman, she ought to be careful. Her devotion ought to be to her husband. Nothing wrong with doing what she can and desires and will please her husband to entice him. But that's for her husband, as her husband's love ought to be for her. So the warning, don't listen to the words of a fool. Listen to me. Therefore, my sons, listen to me. Don't pay attention and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. Many victims she's cast down. Numerous are all her slain. Now, this woman represents immoral women down through time. How many men have been ruined by this? I was reading an article. Was it the dentist getting my second root canal done this week, and when I was in there, they had a magazine, so I picked it up, and it was one of the cover stories about a prominent politician and the immorality he got involved in, and just brought ruin to his life and to his family. But where does it end up? Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. You see, there is the fool who conducts themselves in a way that shows they're going to end in death. There are the wise who conduct themselves in a way that show they're going to life. It's consistent. So a woman who's functioning like this, who's looking like this, looking for a relationship like this, might stop and say, am I a fool? Do I really know the Lord? My devotion and consuming desire for my husband. Chapter 9. Picture here, wisdom has built her house. Now, wisdom personified as a woman here, because the wisdom, a feminine word, and so naturally it'd be personified in the feminine. Pictured as a woman here calling out, built her house, hewn seven pillars. Here's what the wise woman is doing, and all taken care of. Whoever is naive, verse 4, let him turn in here to him who lacks understanding. She says, come eat of my food. So here's the attraction of woman wisdom versus woman folly. Wisdom, the woman wisdom, says, come here and learn. Learn the ways of God. Forsake your folly and live, verse 6, and proceed in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor. There's some are not going to heed it, but reprove a wise man, he'll love you. Teach a righteous man, he'll increase his learning. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. By me your days will be multiplied. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Verse 13, the woman of folly is boisterous. She is naive and knows nothing. Naive, simple. We would say it's a pejorative term, a simpleton. Not because she might not be very intelligent, but she really knows nothing. Because a person who does not know the living God does not see through the world and everything around him and all his actions through the wisdom God gives, really knows nothing. They're naive. She's boisterous. This attitude of this aggressive woman, ready to pursue what she wants, yet she knows nothing. And she draws in, and verse 16, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. This simpleton woman, foolish woman, appeals to a simpleton man. Simple man, a naive man, a man who knows nothing of the ways of the Lord. In true understanding. So he's lured in. To him who lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. He does not know that the dead are there, her guests are in the depths of Sheol. You see the continual thing. If you are not on the path of wisdom, you are not on the path of life. And that's the idea. Well, I know the Lord, I have his wisdom, I'm just not doing it. Proverbs doesn't allow for that. Doesn't deal with that kind of person. Even the naive, the gullible, are in the camp of the fool. Because until you have committed yourself to the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and submitted yourself to his wisdom, you function like every fool. You don't have the wisdom of God directing your life. So the moral area, foundational. Book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, starts out. The major emphasis in the book contained in the first 9 chapters deals with that. Now I want to look at what it says about additional warnings and instructions regarding women. Some harsh things are going to be said. Remember, we're reading what God says in his wisdom. It's going to be addressed from the perspective of the man, warning him about a certain kind of woman. But in that, it will tell you about the kind of woman that is a fool, not a wise woman. And we're looking at it for that since we're talking about women. We've been through it on the man's side. Come to chapter 11. And we won't have time to look at the context. The context leads into these. But in chapter 11 of Proverbs, pick up with verse 20. We warn, the perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their walk are his delight. You see the connection here? The perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord. The blameless in their walk are his delight. He doesn't say the righteous in heart or the blameless in heart, but the blameless in their walk, in their path, their way. Because it's the same thing as right here. There's no concept that someone will have a righteous heart and an unrighteous lifestyle. Those who are perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord. Those who are not perverse in heart are blameless in their walk, and they're His delight. They cannot be separated out. Important to grasp this. That doesn't mean we as believers can never sin or never be inconsistent. But there is great danger in our evangelical world, in our evangelical church, and in Indian Hills Community Church, that people assume they've taken in a lot, they know a lot about things, I'm just not living. Well, wait a minute, you're not living it. You may have taken in a lot, but it's not gone into your heart. There's been no transformation. Danger. We become like Israel. I've been born a Jew. I've been raised in Israel. I take sacrifices like that woman did earlier in Proverbs. Maybe this is not the best thing or even the right thing to do, but I at least know I'm right with the Lord. Wait a minute. Proverbs doesn't allow for that. So, assuredly, the evil man, verse 21, will not go unpunished. The descendants of the righteous will be delivered. In the sense of those who become righteous as they've been taught and believe it and respond. The contrast. Verse 22, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. That's not the kind of woman you want to be. A pig with a golden nose ring. You don't change anything when you put a gold ring in a pig's nose. He still wants to roll in the muck and the mire and the dung. But he's a pig. The warning here is to the man, but it tells you a woman, you know, you can be a beautiful woman and be nothing but a pig with a gold ring nose. If you want to indulge in sin, we have much manifestations of this in our world. A beautiful women who use their beauty for attracting, but they can't help but sometimes they think of this verse. It's a pig with a gold ring. You don't change the character of the pig by putting a gold ring. Nothing wrong with beauty. There's warnings about beauty because there can be a focus on the external. That's what we see. But the wise person is looking beyond that. That's not the true beauty that comes from the heart, the hidden person of the heart, as the scripture talks about. So a woman who lacks discretion, remember we talked about that word before, has no discernment, no sorting out. She's just a pig with a gold ring in his nose. But still, her character hasn't changed. Her desires, her interests haven't changed. That's where she is. That's not the wise woman. I need to be careful. You know, you dress up and think, well, that's good. Nothing wrong with beauty. We're going to talk about that too in a future study. But if that's what there is, and the woman is not functioning with discretion, in light of God's wisdom, then her character ought to be clearly discerned. Chapter 12 opens up. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Whoever hates reproof is stupid. Words we don't think we ought to use. But the Bible's clear. You can be a fool. You can be stupid. You can lack sense. A good man will obtain favor from the Lord, but he will condemn a man who devises evil. So you see God dealing with it. On the basis of our heart, on the basis of our conduct. Because out of the heart come all sorts of behavior, Jesus said. Verse 4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. This is the high point of the husband. This is crucial to him. I mean, it's like you put the crown on. He's the king. That marks out. So the crown is, she's key to what he is. Most important. He is representative of him. So an excellent wife, a virtuous wife, be the same as the wise woman. The woman wisdom here. She's the wise woman. She is the crown of her husband. She's the highlight of his life. But he who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. Book of Proverbs is going to be clear. There's nothing worse than having a bad wife. It's like rottenness in your bones. You know, it just eats away at your insides. It drains all your energy. It sucks the life out of you. And note here, the Bible never says the wife should change her husband, and the Bible never says the husband should change his wife. There's description here. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. She who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. Therefore, he ought to be sure she does not shame him. Doesn't go on to say that. Just saying the facts. This is the way it is. As we've talked about, the wife can't change her husband, and the husband can't change his wife. Why, the husband has to have as his focus being everything God says he must be as a man and as a husband and a father. And the woman must have as her focus being everything that God says she should be as a wife, a mother, as a woman. But if you have a wife who shames you, it's like rottenness in your bones as a husband. Come over to chapter 14. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. That's what happens. The wise woman builds her house. You see the crucial role the woman plays. Either building her house, her home, the family, or she's tearing it down. When it says tears it down with her own hands, just emphasizes the key role she has. She's taking it apart piece by piece. She's dismantling her home. The wise woman builds her house. She functions in accord with God's wisdom, being and doing what God says she should do as one who submits to Him and desires to please Him. But the one who's not listening to God, she tears her house down, dismantles it piece by piece. I talked about the importance of the man and functioning as he should. You cannot overestimate the importance of the woman functioning as she should in her home either. What a tragedy that a woman, the mother, should be tearing her house down, ruining her home. Chapter 18, verse 2 reminds us, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only revealing his own mind. Now we have reasons why. This is not applicable to me. This is different here. This is not learning anything, just hearing it. Come down to verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The importance of a wife, and ultimately you look to God to provide the wife for you, because that's an act of God's grace and favor. I haven't thanked God for His grace in providing the wife for me. Did I could have made a terrible mistake. You know, young, passionate, you know, you look at the Word, what kind of wife, what ought her interest to be, where she should be, but you know, sometimes appearances fool you and you're not getting what you thought. But how blessed you are when you get the one the Lord has provided. When you get a wife that is a good wife, you've got a blessing from God. So that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be praying that the Lord will provide the right spouse. This would be true going the other way. Of course, for the man who's looking for the wife, the woman looking for the wise man, that will be the kind of center of our home and provide and protect us and lead us in godly ways. That's the kind of man the man is looking for. Oh, I don't know, as long as she's beautiful and looks good. Man, I think she's on my arm. No, first things first. She's a godly woman. She's a wise woman. Lord, provide that. So we pray for our kids, pray for our grandkids. Lord, be gracious, provide the right spouse for them that will encourage them in the ways of godliness, wisdom, following the Lord. Who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Come over to chapter 19. A couple of verses here. A foolish son is destruction to his father. We're going to talk about kids later. Next line. And the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. Drip, 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 drip. Do that for the next few hours. I got to get out of here. That's what it's like being cooped up in a house with a wife who's contentious, always bickering, always has something wrong, always complaining, always criticizing. It's like the constant dripping. It just drives you crazy. It's going to come up again. Well, you know, this doesn't sound very nice. Why are you picking on the women? You know, there's no balance in here, as I said, for the men and the husband in the Proverbs. It doesn't say for the wife what it's like to have a husband like this, but the things said to the husband instruct him how he is to be. These things don't want to be a contentious, complaining, criticizing wife. You know, I've had men when I pastorate, and the pastor, I've had pastors meet and say, oh, my wife is my biggest critic. Why in the world would you want to marry your biggest critic? Be cooped up with somebody who criticizes me. You know, my wife is not my biggest critic. She's not my best critic. She's not one of my critics. She's my best encourager, my best supporter. She doesn't find fault in me when the fault's there. You know, Marilyn never criticizes my sermons. I used to be asked, Marilyn, criticize your sermon? What do I want to go home and hear ever criticize my sermon? I already know it was a dud. The last thing I want now is to go home and hear it. I feel bad enough that it was as lousy as it was. Now I'm going to have my wife, well, that was sure boring. Couldn't even understand half of what you said. I don't know who you were talking to. I don't want to hear that. She said, well, no, I think you were in the Word. She finds things to encourage me. I think, well, yeah, I got to get ready and be better next week. Don't want the constant dripping. All right. House and wealth, verse 14, are inheritance from the Lord. You can get money. You can get an inheritance from your parents. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Again, God is the one who provides this spouse. What a blessing. I look for the Lord. Well, you know, I'm looking for something different than what the Lord might provide. Then I better get my eyes changed. Lord, I want the spouse you have for me. So the wife wants to be a prudent wife, a godly woman, a wise woman. So she'll be prepared to be the right kind of woman and wife for a wise and godly husband. Okay. Now come on over to chapter 21. Chapter 21. Verse 9, it's better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. I didn't write this. This is why much of the modern feminist movement discards the Old Testament. They say it was written by men in a patriarchal society, and everything is, this is God speaking. It's better to live in a corner of a roof. And those, you know, you're familiar with those houses in the Middle East. And they often have flat roofs. In those days, they made them by laying boards and sticks and then straw and mud. But they leaked when it rained. But it's better to go up on a roof and live in the corner of a roof exposed to the elements. Huddled down in a corner, trying to stay out of the wind and the sun and the rain and everything else, than it is to live in a house with a contentious, bickering, critical woman. It just drives you crazy. So, women, what kind of woman don't you want to be? If you're a wise woman, you won't be a contentious, critical, bickering. On it goes. You know, I don't want to live my life with my wife in constant turmoil. She's my retreat. When you get away from all the mess of the world and the criticisms and the bickering and the fighting and at home and I'm home. What a terrible thing to have to say. And God says it, better to live in a corner of a roof. And it's woman. And it is true. Because God says it. So a woman does not want to be a contentious, if she is a wise woman, won't be a contentious, critical, bickering woman. That's the kind of woman you would not want to be. Down to verse 19. If living in the corner of a house didn't get the point, it's better to live in a desert land. than with a contentious and vexing woman. There's a reason God repeats himself on this subject a lot, because it is the worst of, almost said the worst of fates, but that wouldn't be a good way to put it. But the worst of conditions to be with a woman who is a contentious and vexing woman. Better live in a desert land. We don't have time to go to Proverbs, and there it talks about what it'd be like to live in a desert land. Exposed to the animals, exposed to the heat, with not enough food, not enough water. But here God says it's better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. In other words, live in a corner of a house, live in a desert land, anything's better than living with a contentious and vexing woman. This is the worst thing. Why? The two are to be one. She was created to be your helpmeet. Created to support, so on, we've talked about. And she's a contentious, vexing woman. Not a good thing to be. You know, women learn, they get their own way. Why? By just being impossible. Talked with a man one time, they're not part of this church, and talked to him and his wife. And the man finally came and talked to me and says, you know, I just have to be very careful what I say. My wife is a very strong person. And I found that out when I talked to her. He had determined she was going to get her way. And you just make it so. The man says, well, what should I do? You say, well, you ought to straighten things out. Well, God says they're not straightenable often. She's a fool, a contentious and vexing woman. You'd be better off heading to the desert. Can't do that. But it tells you how bad it is, how bad it can be. So women, you don't want to be this kind of woman. Now, I talked to the wife in that situation I'm talking about, again, and nobody here at this church. She was proud she was spiritual. That she had the spiritual insight and understanding. You don't know you're a fool. Your own husband says that if he says the wrong thing, it's just an unlivable situation in the home, but you sit here and proud and can quote scripture and tell me how godly you are. Sad. Women, don't be contentious. Well, boy, I'll have to work on it. No, just stop it. You know, just like the man, stop it if you're not treating your wife right. Don't say, I'm going to work on it for the next few months. Get it right today. Woman, if you're a critical, contentious, bickering woman, stop it. When? Well, right now. You're not doing it, right? Well, I wouldn't do it here. Well, don't do it anywhere. We're good. All right. Okay. 25. 24. I think we've read this verse before. Connect to verse 23. I mean, you go back and read the context of some of these, you'll appreciate sometimes what is around it. The north wind brings rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. It's better to live in the corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Now, God doesn't repeat himself because he didn't remember he had that proverb already in here. He never forgets. So when you hear God saying something over and over again, it's something to be paid attention to. All right, come over to chapter 27, verse 15. A constant dripping on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman are alike. I think we read that before too, didn't we? He who would restrain her restrains the wind and grass oil with his right hand. Some women cannot be changed. Now, I realize the power of God, but here's what God says. You had a woman like this, you don't think you're going to marry someone and change her. You don't think you're going to marry a man and change him. You try to change this woman who's so contentious, so bickering, so critical, so you just like trying to put your hand out and stop the wind. We got a lot of wind in Nebraska. You don't put your hand out and stop it. Or grasp oil. Get a good handful of oil. You don't. It just seeps right through. When somebody says, bring me a handful of oil. How do you do that? You reach in, you grab it, and it all leaks out. You can't do it. That's the point. He would restrain her, restrains the wind, grasps oil with his right hand. That's a contentious woman. That's why it's so impossible in the home. It just, you know, A woman plays a key role in the home. Women, you want to be a godly woman, a wise woman. We'll pick up in the future. We'll talk about Proverbs 31. I wanted to get a little bit of that in, but we can't. Because Proverbs 31 will end up on the positive. It will tell you what a woman who fears the Lord is like. What godly wisdom incarnated in a woman reveals itself to be like. And it is beautiful. It is life-changing. And it makes all the difference for a man. It makes all the difference for the children. It makes all the difference for the home. But we have to stop here. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Lord, you've redeemed us from our foolishness, our lostness, our hopelessness. You've rescued us from the pathway of death. Lord, how important it is that we bow before you in obedience, that those who love you will be obedient to you, that we manifest our love in our obedience. Thank you for the godly women of this local church, the blessing they are in the ministry, in their homes, the example they set for the younger women, younger men, and what is desirable in a godly wife. Lord, I pray you'll bless our ministries together as we continue to grow and submit ourselves to your truth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.